ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। सो टुडे वी आर रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 10 चैप्टर 7 entitled The Killing of the Demon Trinavarta, text number 16. Gavaha sarvagunopeta vasas rukma malini atmajabhyudayarthaya pradate chanvayunjata गावः सर्वगुणोपेता वासस्रग्रुक्ममालिनिः आत्मजाभ्युदयार्थाय प्रादात्ते चान्वयुञ्जत। गावः सर्वगुणोपेता वास स्रक्रुक्ममालिनी आत्मजाभ्युदयार्थाय प्रादात्ते चान्वयुञ्जत। गावः सर्वगुणोपेता वास स्रक्रुक्ममालिनी आत्मजाभ्युदयार्थाय प्रादात्ते चान्वयुञ्जत। सर्वगुणोपेता जीस नोपेता वासाक्षरक्रुक्ममालिनी आत्मजाभ्युदयार्थाय प्रादाते जन्मयुञ्जत। गावः काउज सर्वगुणोपेतः being fully qualified by giving sufficient milk, etc. Vasaha, well-dressed. Srak, with flower garlands. Rukma Malinihi, and with garlands of gold. Atmaja, Abhyudaya, Arthaya, for the purpose of his son's affluence. Pradat, gave in charity. Te, those brahmanas. Cha, also. Anvayunjataha, accepted them. Translation. Nanda Maharaj, for the sake of the effulgence of his son, of his own son, Krishna, gave the brahmanas cows fully decorated with garments, flower garlands and gold necklaces. These cows, fully qualified to give ample milk, were given to the Brahmanas in charity, and the Brahmanas accepted them and bestowed blessings upon the whole family, especially upon Krishna. Purport. Nanda Maharaj first fed the Brahmanas sumptuously and then gave them in charity first-class cows, fully decorated with gold necklaces, garments and flower garlands. Om Ajnanatimirandasya Jnananjanashalakaya Chakshurunmilitam Yena Tasmai Sri Guruve Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Svayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Svapadantikam Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. So this chapter I although titled as the killing of demon Tanavrata describes two demons killing. One is the Shakatasura and second is Tanavrata. The first half is describing that. In the beginning of this chapter, King Parikshit is making very beautiful statements which we will read. He says, my dear Shukadev Goswami, all the various activities exhibited by the incarnations of the Supreme Personality of Godhead are certainly pleasing to the ear and the mind. Simply by one's hearing these activities, the dirty things in one's mind immediately vanish. Generally, we are reluctant to hear about the activities of the Lord, but Krishna's childhood activities are so attractive that they are automatically pleasing to the mind and the ear. Thus, one's attachment for hearing about material things, which is the root cause of material existence, vanishes completely. And one gradually develops devotional service to the Supreme Lord, attachment for Him, and friendship with the devotees who give us the contribution of Krishna consciousness. That's beautiful statements Parikshit Maharaj is making. If you think it fit, kindly speak about these activities of the Lord. So we have to first prepare our mind to hear from Srimad Bhagavatam, in the sense that we want to hear Krishna's pastimes, to get detached from the attraction of hearing the material things of the world. We also want to hear the pastimes of the Lord, so that all dirty things in our mind should immediately vanish. Also, we want to develop attraction to the Lord, attachment for Him, and develop friendship with the devotees who give us Krishna consciousness. And in other purports, Prabhupada explains that that simply by hearing the Lord's pastime, one becomes transcendental. Situated on the platform which is beyond the influence of three modes of material nature, situated beyond the platform of miseries which is arising from the senses and sense perception, as Krishna says in Gita. And he says by situating oneself on the spiritual platform, what one does? Hears about the pastimes of the Lord and engages oneself in service to Krishna. So it's a very beautiful process. And now Parikshit Maharaj is already enlightened, enlivened, although one is expected to be physically on the last days of Bhagavad Saptaha, very tired, exhausted, sleepy, maybe bored. This is what we can expect ourselves if we are there. But Shukadeva Maharaj is narrating and Parikshit Maharaj is listening. And day by day, moment by moment, there is increasing enthusiasm and increasing enthusiasm to hear the pastimes of the Lord. This is something which is unique. So when one gets situated on the transcendental platform, what happens is this, that one becomes more and more and more eager as time passes While in the material world, as time passes, we get exhausted. So this is the state of Shukadeva Maharaj. After hearing maybe of 6 days, I think 5.5 days to 6 days, he's entering in 10th canto and he's so enthusiastic. And even many occasions, Shukadeva Maharaj is also congratulating Parikshit Maharaj. I congratulate you. You're such a wonderful listener that you are giving me enthusiasm by your enthusiasm. Inflict me with the enthusiasm that you have. So I speak because of you. I thank you for this. So this is the wonderful scripture, Srimad Bhagavatam, which is most beneficial for the speaker, for the listener, and for everybody in the world. Wherever it is recited, by the effect of Srimad Bhagavatam, the whole world gets benefited. The transcendental benefit always remains in ethos and benefits everybody. That is why still there is rain, still there is crops coming from earth, still fruits are coming from trees. So this pastime, the background is like this. Although at this moment of time, Nanda Maharaj is treating the guest, the brahmanas. The story begins like this. Although we have heard, we will try to repeat. Krishna was born on Rohini Nakshatra. So after 3 months of Krishna's birth, you know, every month the nakshatra comes. At the end of the third month, again when Rohini Nakshatra comes, at the same day, Krishna just turned around and crawled on his hands and knees and went out of the house. And Yashodamayi noted that Krishna has done a very important activity, very important transitional activity. It's called Uthana. So she wanted to immediately celebrate the Uthana ceremony. This is how the life of Braja is very, very beautiful, that everything that is happening with the Lord is a festival. In fact, there is no need to have even for Lord to turn. Whatever the Lord does, even if he looks this side, is a festival. Looks upside, is festival. Looks down, is festival. Everything is a festival. The whole life of Braj is simply a festival of love amongst the devotees and the Lord. And that is what we are trying to participate into by reading these pastimes. And we also can partake of little festival of love through the Brajvasis. So immediately Yashoda Mai called for Brahmins, called for friendly, neighborly men and women, and they all came dressed up very beautifully with flowers and ornaments and running very quickly to the house of Yashoda and Nanda. And the gopis came and they massaged beautiful fragrant oil on the Krishna's body. Then Garga Sanhita says that he was dressed in red dress, and Gopal Champu says that he was dressed in white dress. Both the dress are fine. For us, it's all fine. So, then the gold ornaments were put on every limb of the Lord. On the wrist, on the arms, on the neck, on the waist, on the legs, on the ankles. And then, Yashodamayi with great love smeared kajal, the black mascara, on his eyes. And he was looking so beautiful, resplendent like many, many moons, it is explained. And she then put on him Chandrahar, a very beautiful garland which is ended with tiger nails, Vaganak. And thus Yashoda dressed him very beautifully, and he was looking very, very beautiful, charming the hearts of all the Brijvasis, all the ladies. They were enamored by his beautiful face. And thus they started dancing and singing. Everybody sang beautiful songs. Started dancing. Then there was many, many instruments called bheris, dundubis, mridangas, and sitars, and veenas. And Brahmanas were singing songs, and on that many people were dancing. So Yashoda became a little busy, that she wanted to serve all the guests very nicely, as usual. So she got a little busy, and then Krishna also got a little tired. So she wanted him to take rest. And it is explained in Bhagavatam and also in Anand Vrindavan Champu that she put him on the bed. The bed was white colored, more effulgent than powdered camphor, soft like roses. And Yashoda and Krishna both slept on that. And Yashoda took him in her lap and made him lie down, and finally he went to sleep. And it is explained in Garga Sanhita that she put him in a cradle. which was kept under the hand cart at the corner of the courtyard. So this is a little confusion, no? But Jiva Goswami has clarified this confusion. How these both are same? Because we think, whenever we think of radal, a small thing comes in our mind, right? Our baby is 1 foot size and about 3 feet cradle, like that. But this cradle was like a room. Before that, it is explained that the cart under which this cradle was put was like a huge room. And in that room, the whole cradle, whole the cart was there, which was high as palm trees, tall, wide and huge. That kind of cart was there. And at the tail end of the cart, there was a cradle. And the cradle itself was a huge bed, which was standing on four pillars and was swinging very gently. So now you can imagine, it was a cradle also, it is true. It was a bed also, it is true. Because there was a big bed on that moving, swinging cradle. And it was supported by four pillars made of emeralds, made of corals, and decorated with emeralds. And there were beautiful, colorful ribbons were hanging on that for Krishna's pleasure. So, it had white mattress and many colorful pieces of cloths hanging from top. And Krishna was touching these cloths. And while touching these cloths, he was making very beautiful sounds and laughing loudly for some time before he went to take rest. So, the Brahmanas chanted Vedic hymns from all the four Vedas. Yashoda gave them clothes, grains, garlands, cows, and she worshipped them with great love and respect. And then, when she put Krishna to rest and she went away, she kept 5-year-old young boys for security of the child, for safety, to watch over him. After some time, Krishna woke up and he felt very hungry. And he wanted to drink mother's milk. So he cried. When he cried, there were so many sounds of dundubis and mridangas and bheris. So Mother Yashoda was also busy in many things, so she couldn't hear the sounds. So Krishna kind of got a little angry that she didn't come immediately when he got hungry. At the same time, when he was crying, there was a demon sent by Kamsa in the skies. He had a body of Vayu, that means air body. Not like our body. Our body is different. This is air predominant body. And he was thinking of coming down to kill Krishna on the order of Kamsa. And he was thinking that this baby appears to be invincible. Appears to be difficult to even touch, what to speak of killing. And Putana had just come and she had disguised herself. And because of disguise, she got killed. This was his thinking. And he said, I will not disguise myself. I will come and land on the cart. And thus destroy the child by crushing the child under the cart. So it is said that he descended on the cart, which is like a huge big room, tall like palm trees. And it was long, heavy and wide. When he landed on the cart, the wheels sank in the earth because of the weight of the demon and the axle got tilted. You can imagine, na, such a huge room. It's like the chariot going into the ground, you know. And Krishna very slightly kicked it. Just slightly. He was a very small baby. It was too high, so he couldn't have reached the undersurface of the top part of the cart. So he touched the wheel by his lotus feet. And it is explained that the cart flew in the sky like a demon bird. And after flying in the sky, it just crashed down to the ground. And then all the description is there. All the pots got scattered. Every axle was broken. Every spoke came out. The wheels got separated. Spokes came out. All the other upper surface of the cart got broken into many, many pieces and crashed to the ground, making very, very huge sound. And that sound caught the attention of the gopis, including Yashoda Mata. And then they came running. So Acharyas explained that Sri Krishna is very unique and special. How? That as Sri Krishna, he has no efforts. When he comes as incarnation of Narasimha Bhagavan, he has to come into such a big form, half man, half lion, carry 8 weapons in his hands and fight so much. For such a long time he had fight, from afternoon to evening. And evening also he had a lot of efforts to do. He had to tear the abdomen, pluck the heart, throw on the ground and kick Hiranyakashipu, throwing on the ground, then fight with all the brothers of Hiranyakashipu and all the demons who attacked. And after a long time, he was breathing so heavily. That means very heavy work. Vamandev also came as a small child, but he had to expand into such a huge form, raise that huge leg of his, touch the outer coverings of Brahmanda. So much of work was there. So it is that many, many incarnations of the Lord, they do a lot of hard work. But when Sri Krishna comes as Sri Krishna, there is no hard work. It is explained that there is no work only. It is simply enjoyment. When Krishna cried, it was not that he was suffering. When he actually lovingly kicked his feet, in the remembrance of his mother's milk, he was not angry. He just touched the cart. And his loving touch, happy, blissful touch, made the demon tumble down and die, right? Even Arjuna is explaining in the Vishnu Dharma. There is one scripture called Vishnu Dharma, which Prabhupada quotes many, many times in various purports. And in that, Arjuna is explaining that who can do it but you? Simply by touching your lotus feet to the wheel of the cart, such a huge cart crashed down into many, many pieces. Who else but you can do this? This is Arjuna is explaining. And that is why Krishna is called as Shakata Bhanjana. In Brahmanda Puran, there are 108 names of Krishna, which are glorifying Krishna's activities. And one of the names is Shakata Bhanjana. That means Shakata is the cart and Bhanjana is one who was absorbed in that demon in killing him by touching his lotus feet. Now, there was a demon called Utkacha. And he was son of Hiranyaksha. He was very strong and very powerful. And was very proud also. So one day he went to the ashram of Lomasha Muni. Lomasha Muni is one of the famous munis. His names come in Puranas many, many times. And he went there and he crushed all the trees into powder. Destroyed. I mean, there was no need actually. Muni is living very peacefully and he has maintained some nice trees. He just goes there, arrogantly and destroys all the trees. And standing there with great pride, with his body, it is explained, a gross body in front of him very proudly. So Lomasha Muni said, you are very proud of your body. You must lose your body. You will become without your body. Become bodiless. They become without body. So as the snakes give up skin, like that Lomasha Muni cursed him and as that way, all his body just collapsed from his soul. And immediately the soul, that the person of Hiranyaksha's son, Utkacha, fell down at the feet of Lomasha Muni and said, please forgive me. You are very merciful. You are a saintly personality. You are kind, compassionate. Please be kind upon me. I am very sorry for offending you. So, is it all right? Till the tenure of Chakshusha Manu, you will remain in the body of Vayu. And then also you remain in the body of Vayu till 28th Dwapar Yuga of Vaivasvata Manu. That is the son of sun god's son. That is called as Vaivasvata Manu. Till 28 Dwapar Yugas pass away, at the end of 28 Dwapar Yuga of Vaivasvata Manu, Krishna will come and by the touch of his lotus feet, you will be delivered. That boon he gave him. So he was the demon Utkacha, who was the demon. And that is why, as soon as the cart crashed down to ground, the demon also flew in the sky along with the cart and also he crashed down. And it is said that the earth trembled with the sound and the smash of the cart and the demon died. What happened was very, very, very significant. When the demon died, instantly the demon accepted a very effulgent transcendental body. Only Krishna could see it, nobody else could see it. And what happened was, he offered pranam to the Lord. And he ascended in a vimana, drawn by 100 horses, which is effulgent, celestial, divine vimana, celestial carrier, drawn by 100 horses. He ascended that and he straight went back to Paramdham Goloka. And this story is narrated by Narad Muni to Bahulashwa. And Bahulashwa is amazed how this could happen. And he asked him to Narad Muni how this demon could go back to Godhead. At that time, Narad Muni explained to him the reason why he went back to Godhead, because Lomasha Muni had blessed him. So Prabhupada explains in the purport of the previous sloka that, you know, the sadhus, how their words become so powerful, their curse or their blessings, how they become effective. Because these Vaishnavas, who are saintly people, they have some qualities. Because of that, their words become true. They are free from envy. They don't envy anybody. There's a very different levels of envy. You know, bodily envies, you know, intellectual envies, positional envies. So many envies are there. But absolutely they are free from all envy. And they are free from any tendency of being untruthful. They are always truthful. They are always fixed on the absolute truth. This is a transcendental platform of truth. But also the worldly truths and worldly lies, all these kinds of things, they are totally free from the untruthful nature. They are not inflicted with any unnecessary pride. They are free from any grudges. You know, you did this to me, you did that to me, that Muni did that to me, at that time when I went to one function, he did say that to me. There is no grudge in the heart. They just take everything as the mercy of the Lord and live very peacefully. So they don't keep any grudges against anybody. And another thing is, they are never disturbed by seeing the opulence of others. Like Vishwamitra Muni never thought that, other Munis never thought that Vasishtha had a Kamadhenu and I don't have. I wish I would have that. Vishwamitra thought that way, of course. We are not talking about Vishwamitra Muni. We are talking that when sages have different things, even among sages there could be envy, there could be competition, there could be so many things. But such people whose words are very powerful, they are free from disturbance of opulence of others. They are self-satisfied. Whatever they have, they may have Kamdhenu or may not have Kamdhenu. They may have beautiful environment in the ashram or may not have. They may sleep under trees. But they are not disturbed by the envy of the opulence of others. And they are not afflicted by any false prestige of anything what they have. They may have many siddhis or many powers. When we have these qualities, then Prabhupada says that person's words become true. And sadhus are giving, you know, we read about Narad Muni giving curse to Yamala, what is that, Nalakuber and Manigriva. Then we know Jajali Muni giving curse to the demon and he became Bakasur. And there are so many stories. Everybody has a curse, that's why they have become demons. Everybody, almost Putana also, she thought of Vamanadev as a child and then she wanted to kill the child, so she came. So many of them were cursed. Agasura, he actually laughed at Ashtavakra Muni for his ugly body. So Agasura became a demon. And then he was given a concession that Krishna will enter in your body and you will be delivered. So what is the actually curse of a sadhu? Sadhu's curse is actually a blessing. It may appear like externally as a punishment, but actually sadhu's curses are always uniting the person with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. That we should understand. So we should never get fearful of sadhu's curses. Even if they curse us, actually ultimately a real sadhu's curse is never meant for us to get separated from the Lord. We may suffer physically or materially, but ultimately we get united with the Supreme Personality of Godhead and receive ultimate blessings. As Utkacha, son of Hiranyaksha, he had no scope of going back to Godhead. But by the curse of Lomasha Muni, he could not only get liberated, but he could go back to Godhead simply, ascending the throne, ascending the chariot. So we have to understand that this Brahminical nature that Prabhupada is explaining in the purport also is so important that he said that my society is meant for creating Brahmins. I am trying to reinstate Brahminical status and thus giving head to the society, and the society will ultimately run because of the head that is being created. And ISKCON is supposed to also create first class Brahmins. ISKCON is supposed to be the intellectual aspect of the society, spiritual intellectual aspect, which will give guidance to society and lead society into leading a life full of varnashram and devotional service to the Lord. So, in this particular pastime, we can see that there is contrast. You know, Krishna's lotus feet is like soft lotus petals or rose petals. They are so soft that gopis are always meditating. They should not get hurt anywhere. Because if he puts on the ground, it may be hard for him. If he puts on the stone, it may hurt him, it may bleed. They are always crying in the heart, meditating on the softness of the lotus feet of the Lord. When Krishna went to forest, they were all meditating that, oh, he may step on the stones, he may step on the pebbles or thorns and hurt himself. And they would cry in the thoughts itself. He's not, they don't know what's happening with him, but they are simply thinking and they are crying. That is the beauty of emotions of bhakti. So here we see that the lotus feet is so soft, but what is the effect? As soon as it's touching that palm tree like tall, wide, strong cart, it is coming down into ground, into tumbling into pieces, crashing down, making tumultuous sound. So this is contrast. A similar contrast is there when Krishna was dancing on Kaliya's hoods. His steps were so softly put on the heads of Kaliya, and he was so gracefully dancing. You know, gopis had actually told Krishna that you should dance, you know, show us how to dance nicely. So Krishna has thought a unique way of dancing on the hoods of Kaliya to please the gopis. And he explained that his steps were so gracious that the Gandharvas, the Yakshas, the Kinnaras and the Kimpurushas in the sky, they were trying to match up with the Taal or that Krishna was dancing with. And he explained that they could not catch up with the Taal. They wanted to give music to the Taal that he was dancing with. They could not match up with the music also. They were all expert demigods, you know, of music. But they couldn't figure out what Taal it is. They couldn't figure out how to accompany it with our instruments. And they simply attempted but failed to attempt, and they kept attempting. But what was happening to Kaliya? Every gracious, soft step that he was putting on his head was serving him like Vajraghat, thunderbolt. And all the poison and flames were coming out of his mouth. And he was like getting weakened at every particular touch of the Krishna's feet on his head. So at the same time graceful, at the same time painful for Kaliya. And for Krishna it is not an effort. You know, dancing is not an effort, it's a fun. He was having simply enjoyment. You know, in the coils of Krishna, in the coils of Kaliya, or jumped on the head of Kaliya, simply enjoyment. There was no effort. That is the specific nature of Krishna when he comes. There is no work, simply enjoyment. So then, Nanda and all cowherd men and all women came running, rushed to the spot. How this happened? They were wondering, and it is explained that for a long time, they just all silently just kept gazing at the scene. How this must have happened? Such a huge cart, such a small baby, how this must have happened? So they asked the boys who were supposed to be guarding, what happened? So they said Krishna wanted to have milk, he was hungry, so he cried, and cried, you know how children are always throwing their legs up and down. So he kicked his legs and it just touched the wheel of the cart and everything came down. So they started discussing among each other what the boys are saying, and they finally concluded the boys are simply boys, you know. They don't know anything. How can we believe this child? They said, how can that be? Such a small child, such a huge cart, it is simply impossible. So in Gopal Champu, that Madhukanta and Snigdhakanta are discussing. So Snigdhakanta is asking Madhukanta, how this can be possible? He said, don't ever ask me again. I told you before also, this is Yogamaya's potency. He said, Yogamaya nicely covered them. The truth is something else. But Yogamaya puts them into such an illusion, she puts them on a different platform. And what do they think? That there is some star in the sky called Balagraha. That is called as, there is a mystical constellation which is very inauspicious for Krishna. And that is why first Putana came. And after that, now Shaktasura is coming. And the news came to Yashoda. She was also there. She came running a little later. And she saw and she immediately fainted. She fell unconscious. All the girls, gopis, they started fanning her and started pacifying her. Don't worry, Krishna is fine, because by the time she had not seen Krishna to be alright. She only heard that the cart under which I kept Krishna fell down and crashed down to pieces. So she thought, my God, it fell on my child. So she fell unconscious. And the coward girls, coward ladies, they pacified her. So she woke up and she said, what? My 3 months old baby, having butter-like soft body, suffered so much. Suddenly the cart broke and fell down on my son. Why I did not have heart attack by hearing this? How I am still alive? Why my heart did not stop beating? When I heard this news, definitely my heart burst me as strong, as hard as Vajra, thunderbolt. Then she said that it is a result of my misfortune that Putana came. It is a result of my misfortune that Shaktasura also immediately followed. One after another. I guess more misfortune awaits for me. That is why I want to have another ceremony to please the Brahmins. It is due to bad stars for my son called Balagraha. That is Graha Dosh. So immediately she wanted her husband to call Brahmins. She took Krishna on his lap, on her lap, and immediately put him on her breast. If you read Krishna's pastimes, wherever there are difficulties, and the difficulties are apparently solved, what Yashoda is doing? First thing, she lifts baby Krishna and puts him on her breast. There's a very significant point that breastfeeding is supposed to be most secure position for the child. As soon as the mother takes child to the breast, the child feels utmost security, and the mother also feels utmost pleasure in keeping the child safe under her lap, on her lap. So even medical science also, even material speaking also, when the child is scared, to appease the child, to decrease the child's fear, the mothers should give breast milk immediately. It is not just a chemical composition which the child requires. It is the emotional support that the child gets. So here Krishna, whenever he is coming out of apparent danger, he is not in danger, neither he is scared or he is miserable. But Mother Yashoda is acting as a simple mother who loves the child. So immediately she fed Krishna on her breast. And of course Krishna was on lap. At that time, Nanda Maharaj, after giving breast milk from Yashoda, he took him on his lap and called all the Brahmins. And the Brahmins sang hymns from all the four Vedas. And they gave bath to him with lots of herbs. Prabhupada explains how the herbs are so beautifully decorated and water is made out of that. And Krishna was given full bath with the herbs, with all the mantras. And it's explained that the Brahmanas chanted the mantras so expertly. They knew exactly at what point which mantras to sing. And they sang all those mantras. And then for Graha Shanti, one fire sacrifice was done. And finally, the Brahmanas were fed with first-class grains and food and milk products. And then, Atmaja Abhyudaya Arthaya. Then we come to today's sloka. That is for the purpose of the son's affluence. Nanda Maharaj, which cows he gave? Sarva Gune Petaha. All the cows who were so qualified and so equipped and so strong and beautiful and eligible to give abundant amount of milk. Such cows were given in charity. And how they were given? Vasaha. They were given beautiful vastra, covered with lot of garments. And sragaha, that means beautiful garlands of flowers were there on the neck of the cows. And the necks were also decorated by Rukma Malini, that is golden necklaces. Such cows were donated by Nanda Maharaj to the Brahmins. And the Brahmins blessed the whole family, especially Krishna. Krishna was simply blissful and enjoying. Still he accepted all the rituals done by the mother and father out of fear for danger for him. So what is exactly happening? Nothing is actually happening. Krishna is not in danger at all. But the situation is created by Yogamaya, that everybody is fearful, everybody is worried, their emotions are getting intensified, and there are Brahmins coming, and there are rituals being done, there is Graha Shanti being done, and there is a illusory thoughts of some bad stars in the sky. Now, all this is actually, we will say, this is all waste of time. Why we should do all these things? Krishna is Supreme Personality of Godhead. But the beauty of Braja is, by the divine arrangements of ladies like Purnamasi and others, who is Yogmaya herself. What is her job? To keep the environment of Braj so intense in love that sometimes it becomes unrealistic. Is that right? This is unrealistic. Krishna is not in danger. But what they are thinking is, oh, there is a misfortune, I am unfortunate, my child is unfortunate, the stars are bad, look what's happening again and again, why this should happen to my child, such a ghastly demoness came, 12 miles long, was so ghastly, she came in disguise, how this could be happening unless there is misfortune. So all because of me, so I must keep on giving donations to Brahmins and keep on worshipping them and keep on doing all these rituals to save my child from danger. What other times are doing? They are bringing calves and their tails are touching to different parts of the body of Krishna, chanting Suraksha Kavacha mantras from Vedas. Simply, it's all illusion actually. But this illusion is most powerful because it brings the devotees close to Krishna. And that is the divine transcendental position of all these Brijvasis. They may be appearing to be foolish sometimes, doing activities which are completely illogical. Or maybe not sensible also. But all their activities are pleasing the Lord because they are simply intended to please the Lord thoroughly, 100%. So they are having fear for Krishna and Krishna is enjoying this wonderful illusory situations which they are going through, and whatever they are offering Krishna in those illusory situations is simply enjoying those. And who is having best time in this? Who is having the best time in this? The Brahmanas. Because whatever illusory conditions they go through, the first thing they do is they call the Brahmanas. They engage them in service, you know. So, this is also a contrast again. That Krishna is in bliss and Nanda Yashoda and coward people, all people are in dangerous situation, miserable situation and suffering. And they keep serving Brahmanas. So, what is important is, when we undergo some sufferings, we take shelter of some material solutions. And when Brajvasis undergo some sufferings, what they do? They simply call Brahmins. They take shelter of the intellectual part of the society immediately. They take guidance from them. They come in the picture and they solve the situation from whatever point of view they have understanding. Krishna, what ultimately does is, he simply accepts love and the activities done with loving sentiments. He only accepts those. He doesn't see, are they done in illusion or in speculation or in illogical or insensible situations? No. He is simply accepting love through all these activities. And that is what is hope for us. Because we also have limited intelligence, that too contaminated with so many material activities, material inflictions. And we may think that we are doing something for Krishna and it may not be actually appropriate many times. But if we have a sincere heart, sincere feelings for Krishna, even though they are inappropriate, Krishna will immediately accept it. Because his nature is, he only accepts the loving sentiment of the activities. And that is why we are having hopes. Although we do wrong things, if our intentions are right, if our feelings are right, if our thinking of the Lord is very favorable in loving sentiments, then Krishna will ignore all the so-called illogical, insensible activities that we do and accept the essential sentiment behind that. Otherwise, if Krishna was like demigods, then what would happen? Whatever we do, we will be taken literally. And then we will have effects accordingly. Like Kumbhakarna said, Nidrasan. His intention was Indrasan. But his intention was not taken into consideration. He was put into Nidrasan. Because he was dealing with not Krishna, he was dealing with Brahmaji. This is a small example, you know. In demigods, this is what happens. You have to be actual, what you are doing, very clearly available there, what you are doing. And if you say something here and there, there is a problem. But in Krishna, with Krishna, is not like that. So we have great hopes in these situations. We may not be complete. We may be having a lot of deficiencies. Our activities may be full of faults. But still, we have hope that if we keep good intentions and good heart, Krishna will only look into the heart. So Krishna consciousness ultimately is a matter of heart. Developing a heart which is full of love for Krishna. And that's what the Brajvasis have. That is why Krishna is always in love with Brajvasis. Simplicity of the heart, no duplicity. Filled with love, always concerned about Krishna, always engaged in service to Krishna, always doing things at the cost of one's own displeasure and own suffering to please Krishna, to make him happy, day and night meditating on Krishna, day and night thinking about Krishna, how to serve him, how to please him, what to do next to please him. When he is not there, they are singing the songs, and when he is there, they are simply busy in serving him. That is the situation of Brajvasis. And we all are aspiring to become servants of the Brajvasis, so that we can also acquire this simplicity of a heart. Radhana Swami Maharaj one time told that what attracts Krishna from Brajvasis is their simple, loving heart. Simple means no duplicity, and loving heart. That is always attractive for Krishna. So he sold out to them. He is not only pleased with them, but he sells himself out to them. He becomes a child, so that he can apparently go in a dangerous situation, and he can go on the breast of Mother Yashoda, suck the breast with love, and give Mother Yashoda such so much service and pleasure. Iti druksva leela bir ananda kunde swagosham nimajjantam akhyapayantam. Nimajjantam means a big pond. So thus he drowned all the Gokulvasis in ecstasies and pools of love. Because they are simply exchanging love. What they are doing is immaterial. What is happening is loving exchange. And that loving exchange is what all of us want. When that happens, our life is successful, whether we are physically miserable or not. When we situate ourselves on the platform of loving exchange with the Lord and His devotees, then our life becomes successful. So, Krishna puts himself into this apparently dangerous conditions because he wants to get pampered by Nanda and Yashoda. Because when immediately they start caressing him, chanting mantras for him, touching calf tail to him, and giving him sweetmeats and giving charity to Brahmins. So to taste this love, he has left Vaikuntha and come down to the earthly Vrindavan. So that it is also explained that he left all the opulence of Vaikuntha, Chappan Bhoga of Vaikuntha, Aishwarya of Vaikuntha, simply to come down and to relish the simple tasty love of the Brajvasis, which is his Madhurya. That means he has given Aishwarya up to come down to taste the Madhurya of the Brajvasis. How the Brahmins had a good time in Vrindavan? One more event I remember, that when Radharani was born, Vrishabhanu Maharaj was so happy. So he opened lots of treasuries. He was supposed to be much richer than Nanda Maharaj. In fact, he explained that Vrishabhanu Maharaj actually owned all of the Braj. But out of friendship and love for his friend Nanda, he donated some land to him and made him also king of some part of the land. So he was very rich, and he had lots of treasuries of diamonds, emeralds, rubies and varieties of jewels, So he opened one treasury and started donating to Brahmins, and Brahmins were filling their cloths with all the jewels, and they were going away. And suddenly they heard that another treasury is opened. So they dropped their jewels down and they went again to take another donation. And they again were filled with another kind of jewels. Filled their cloths and their, what do you call that? Uttariya Vastra. And they heard that third treasury is opened. So they dropped those jewels on the ground and they ran for the third treasury to be accepted. And like that, it is said that the whole Braj Bhumi was filled with jewels everywhere. And Vrishabhanu Maharaj was opening one after another all the treasuries. And the Brahmanas were accepting and accepting and accepting. So, so this is so important to understand that pleasing the Brahminical class is a very important activity. What Nanda Maharaj, ultimately Vrishabhanu Maharaj, are trying to tell us, that it is very important to please the Brahmanas. When the Brahmanas are pleased, Krishna is pleased. And there is an opportunity here to directly please Krishna also, but at the same time they are not failing to please the Brahminical class. The Brahminical class is not beggars, they are simply getting donations one after another, and they don't keep themselves anything what they receive. They also keep on donating. They only keep what they need. They may keep on accepting whatever they are being given by Nanda Maharaj. Nanda Maharaj is giving cows like anything. Lakhs and lakhs of cows, gold ornamented and necklaced and everything. So they are not keeping everything for them. They just keep whatever they need to sustain. study their scriptures and guide people into their holy rituals to please the Lord. So, because of their selfless lives, they are to be pleased, they are to be served. What we have to understand, that what kind of Brahmins we should become, first thing is selflessness, nothing for oneself. Life meant for upliftment of everybody else. And when we live on that platform of non-greedy nature, then there is development of qualities like control of emotions, control of senses, knowledge, cleanliness, forgiveness, mercy, devotional sentiments to Lord. All these wonderful qualities arise when one situates oneself on the platform of selflessness and free from greed, free from envy. Essentially, a Brahmin has to be free from any disturbance in the mind also. What to speak of, trying to do something which is difficult or easy. He has to be first free from the mental disturbance, free from envy of others' opulences. And such Brahmins, Prabhupada said, we all can become simply by chanting Hare Krishna. Our classes generally may end on this Hare Krishna mantra only. But actually it's a fact, it's not true. No other methods of salvation in this day and age can lead you to this platform of freedom from selfishness, freedom from envy, freedom from disturbance. What Parikshit Maharaj is saying in the beginning, which I read, the translation of second verse of this chapter. He said that simply by chanting Hare Krishna and by hearing the pastimes of the Lord, what is happening is we get free from all that is dirty in the mind, all that is unwanted in the mind, all that is anartha in the mind, and we get simple ecstatic experiences. And those spiritual ecstatic experiences lead one to be selfless, to be free from envy, to be free from greed, to be free from false prestige. And when one situates oneself on this platform, life is simply, whether you are living or whether you are materially living in the material world, doesn't make any difference. You become Jivan Mukta. You become situated in this life in itself, like we are living in Golok Vrindavan. The body doesn't have any other effect on you except for Krishna consciousness. So let us have faith in this process, that this process will lead us to the platform on which Krishna is interacting with these Brajvasis. This platform is not unachievable. It is achievable. Srila Prabhupada has given us such a process that these experiences what Krishna is having, or Brajvasis are having with Krishna, and Krishna is exchanging His love with them, is available to all of us. It is not a theoretical platform which we just simply discuss in the classes. No. By the powerful format that Prabhupada has given us through this process of Krishna consciousness, all that is experienced by the Brijbasis here can be experienced by all of us. And that is why it is most relishable and practical. Not just in the books. All this there, what is there in the books, can be experienced by all of us. And that is the beauty of Krishna consciousness. That from the most insignificant situation, we can be transferred to the most elevated situation of love for the Lord. Hare Krishna. Thank you very much. Are there any comments or questions? Granthraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai.
Is great Vishwaroop Prabhu ki
jai.
Hare Krishna.